Well,
yeah.
I need to tell you something.
Oh, go on.
Don't overreact.
All right, come on.
Arsenal going to win the goddamn league, bro.
Do you reckon?
It's done.
Welcome back, guys, to episode number 57 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy, Fat Mouse. Who else we got in here?
I'm Cash with a K. I'm not C. Boom.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Good week, innit?
Yeah, it was a very good week. Very good week and a great weekend of fights. Can't complain. Had boxing, had MMA, whole shebang, really.
Absolutely. It's good. It's good fun. Guys, of course, before we continue, we do need you to like, comment and subscribe. Share this with your brethrens because, share this with your friends because you know it's going to be a good one. So we can just go ahead and skip straight to that. But yeah, back to what he was saying. We had a great week of boxing, great week of UFC, quite a few interesting scenarios which took place. Where should we start?
We'll start with one interesting scenario. Glasses.
Oh yeah, nice glasses.
Thanks, man. Spectacular spectacles.
Absolutely spectacular pair of spectacles.
Just my eyes a bit messed up right now and I don't want you guys to be scared and never watch the show again.
He takes them off and he's hideous.
Yeah, basically as soon as I take them off the camera cracks. So I'm just covering them up in the meantime, just like, you know, how fighters do post fight to protect themselves from bad photos, I guess, and bad videos.
There you go.
I always want to look nice for you guys. Professional.
I don't know about that.
We try. We try.
I mean, yeah. I ain't got no glasses. So, yeah. All right, cool. That has nothing to do with anything.
Your eyes not messed up. It's not too bad. It's gone down, but it's a bit of swelling around it and stuff, you know.
Training does that to you, man. Yeah. Training does that to you. All right, boom. Shall we kick off with the UFC?
Let's do that. Let's start.
Where do you want to start?
We had a great card actually. We returned to Brazil. We were in Rio de Janeiro for UFC 283, headlined by Glover Teixeira and Jamal Hill.
Take a bow.
For the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship of the World. But on the co-main event, which I think we should start out.
Absolutely.
Actually, before we get to the co-main event, quick shout out to one of my boys. Great win. Shout out Johnny Walker. Spectacular victory.
Good. It was good. It was spectacular for all.
He brought back the fun, brought back our favourite dance move, the worm.
Yes, he didn't injure himself this time.
Yeah, exactly.
He did it in one piece. Well done to you for that. That was the main highlight of your performance.
Was it?
Well done. Not really, but...
Whole shebang.
It was a good one.
Paul Craig is a very good fighter. Very tough, very durable, very good on the ground as well. But
yeah,
he kept it standing, landed a beautiful left hook, I think it was. And then finished him off on the ground. Referee jumped in.
Is that how it happened? Yeah, because I'm not gonna lie. All I remember from that is just Paul Craig just grabbing at the leg and he was getting weighed in from the ankle. But
he was vicious.
That was good.
Shout out AKA Thailand and shout out Johnny Walker.
What's your message, bro, to the fans? What's up, my fans? I'm here training every day.
Those lessons, those Muay Thai sessions, really came into play in that fight. But co-main event, we had the fourth encounter between these two men. They're probably getting sick and tired.
Let's hope it's the final of four.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's the final encounter between. It is now anyway. We know this, but yeah,
it should be anyway. You never know with the UFC. We had the highly anticipated clash between Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno for the UFC flyweight title. And it was a bit of a different fight, I guess, because the first three were just all out wars, back and forth. Going into the fourth fight, it was 1-1-1.
Yeah.
Which means one win for either man, and one draw. So we went into this one, and I guess both men had to devise a certain type of game plan to try and get a clear-cut win, you know? Because they've all been close. They've been good fights.
Yeah, at this point, you want to make it a convincing win, whoever gets it. You want to do it with, you know, just you want to put a seal on it. You get me?
Exactly. Yeah. You want to put a stamp on it and just seal it off and send it off, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Right off into the sunset. But both men kind of came out cagey. It was weird. I mean, it worked, I guess, in certain aspects. It was more of a technical fight than the last three, because they were just brawls, all out brawls. But Brandon Moreno came out and tried to grapple. Came out trying to shoot for the legs and try and take down Davison. Whereas, in my opinion, when we were watching it, I said to Miles, Davison looks a bit...
You said gun shy.
Yeah, he
was a bit reluctant. He was a bit reluctant to engage. And I thought that too. I'm not going to lie. I was like, for the so-called God of War, for the so-called hardest hitter in the division, he's not hitting.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? He wasn't throwing enough punches. Or kicks, really. There's just not enough strikes. Activity coming from him.
There's not enough activity.
Whereas Brandon was, again, compared to their threes, it's always difficult when you're comparing to your last fights, and all of them have been classics.
Yeah.
It's difficult to maintain that type of anticipation and that type of excitement in these fights, especially when you just want to come in, ideally put a clinic on and just finish it there and there. There and then.
I think they both knew neither one is going to put on a clinic. It's got to just be, let me prove I'm the best, but go through war, if anything. But it was a bit of a letdown, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it wasn't as exciting, obviously. Yeah. But the difference, I thought, was they both came in and stuck to their game plans.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. That's where they didn't change compared to the other three. Because it came out, you've always got a game plan. You come in, start scrapping, and then it completely just, the game plan goes out the window, like you see in these fights. And it happened three times in a row. Whereas... in this fight, this weekend, it was more calculated, it was more relaxed. Both men are trying to counter. Brandon, again, like we mentioned, was trying to shoot, trying to get him down, trying to out-wrestle him, which is surprising as well, because I didn't expect it. Obviously, he did say pre-fight that he's been working on it, but again, I just thought, you know, Mexican blood,
yeah,
the Brazilian warrior, yeah, he was just going to come out again. But at the end of the day, they stuck to what they did in that fight, and it was just an unfortunate ending to what could have been a good technical scrap between the two instead of something that was all out brawl. So Brandon Moreno ended up getting the TKO win via Dr. Stoppage at the end of round three.
Dr. Stoppage.
I was going to say, I was so tempted to, but I just controlled myself.
It wasn't even a good impression, but yeah, I'm sure you know the reference.
And so what had happened is he landed a left hook, which at the time, Davison complained about, because he thought he got poked in his eye.
Yeah.
But it was more so of like one of those weird cuffing kind of shots where his
hand
was like kind of open, but it was the
side of his hand landed.
It was like a knuckle side of the hand, and it went straight into his eye. I just bulged straight away.
Yeah.
And he complained. Round went on. He took him down, Brandon. I said to Mal straight away, I was like, why did he shoot?
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah, I didn't understand it, because you've seen the guy, he's complaining, he stopped. The referee saying, carry on fighting. He's basically turned his back to you.
The ref needs to say.
He's kind of turned your back to you, and he's saying, I want out.
Yeah.
That was kind of in that moment.
Just jump on that opportunity.
Exactly.
I think genuinely though, he didn't want it to be a controversial ending. Because if he looks away and then like, ref, my eye, I've been poked, and then he just bangs him. I mean, the result would have been the same, because everyone booed him out anyway. But it would have been like that, like, it was a controversial win.
Yeah.
See what I mean? I think maybe...
Still was a controversial win.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So it didn't change anything, really. But in the end, that eye poke... It wasn't that supposed eye poke. When it landed, I was like, why is he stopping? I was like, he must have broken his orbital. Remember I was saying this? But it's probably not the case. I don't think that punch was enough to land it, because the way it landed, but it landed right in the eyeball. And that kind of pain does stop you immediately for a second. So it just looked like he was giving up. And it may have been an orbital break, because the swelling was huge. Mm. The doctor stoppage came because he couldn't see out of eye, because it was pretty much swollen shut.
It was completely shut.
Which is in line with an orbital break or a fracture, whatever you want to call it. And from most fighters who do break that, who do suffer that same injury, they just say in the moment, you just feel like you can't carry on. You just can't, you know, Billy Joe with Canelo. It's just an immediate, like, I can't carry on.
100%.
And it's your eye. It's very, very precious. Do you get it?
Of course. It's a scary thing. It's not like, I'm not saying any injury in sport is bad, but...
cut above your eye, minor cut here,
cuts, bruises, even like things like, I know they're painful, but like broken ribs, etc. If you lose your eye,
that's mad.
That's your career. Gone. You're done. Even broken legs and stuff. Sometimes, in most cases, with technology now, with doctors, with what we've got, nutrition, etc., most of these fighters can come back, and they all do. They all tend to do. And some come back better than before.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you get a serious eye injury, most fighters don't ever come
you
back.
You can't, because it just changes you mentally and literally physically. So
unless you're Michael Bisping.
Oh, that guy.
Then you don't even need
an eye. In my head, I was thinking to even mention it, but yeah, that's mad.
It's crazy.
Makes you appreciate how insane he was as a fighter. But yeah, man.
I think this rivalry kind of hit its stagnation. I think it's just done now. That was kind of, it was an anticlimactic end to it.
It was.
But we had three amazing fights before that. The fourth one kind of put the seal on top. It's finished now, and they move on. Obviously, Moreno moves on to carry on defending his title against the next up and coming challengers. And it looks like Davison did say in the post fight interview with Daniel Cormier, he's had enough of this weight division. He's going to be moving up, and yeah, man, I'm excited to see him in the bantamweight division. He's There's a lot of killers.
There is. It's going to be a very different dynamic, him being there, because they're all big, and that was. I mean, obviously, his power was massive in that division. And to have that...
Do you think he was weight drained?
100%. I mean, I don't know about...
I mean, he always struggled to make weight.
Exactly. In every... Listen, when he says, I can't do it anymore, you know that it's a struggle. Yeah. You get me?
It was crazy, because in the post fight, he didn't even seem disappointed he lost or upset or angry. It was relief.
Yeah.
It was like, it's done now. Like, it was weird, because, you know... I thought we would have been more annoyed about the doctor stoppage or whatnot, but it was kind of like, okay, it's done now. Whatever happened, happened. I've been champ here. I've done it. I'm moving on to bigger and better things right now. I can't be bothered to keep doing this and killing myself to make this weight. Mm. I think bantamweight actually opens up more better doors for him, because he gets bigger fights, some of the best guys, and he can challenge them as well and can cement his place as one of the best fighters of our generation. If he does decide to become, well, if he doesn't decide, but if he becomes a champ in two divisions, especially with the likes of Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling, Sugar Sean O'Malley there, you know, your boy Sugar's enemy, Chito Vera.
There you go.
You know, you've got good fighters, Corey Sandhagen. So wow, it's a stacked division. So I'm excited. How do you think you'll fare up there?
I don't know yet, man. I'll tell you why. He's got devastating power, which... a lot of which is because of his weight. So once you go there, they're all big now. Mm. And they've all... P.E.N. Oh my days. If these two are some of the most complete fighters. P.E.N., Petian, whatever you want to call him, and Figueiredo. They're both very complete. So, and power versus power with these two, it's like, wow. Like, do you see what I mean? So I'm excited to see how it goes. It's an interesting point though, because as P.E.N. is now... getting a little bit older, suffered a couple losses back-to-back. Controversial, but still back-to-back losses. He's starting to drop in status and on the actual, status, isn't he? So in the what's he called, man?
Rankings.
The rankings, thank you. Flipping out. My vocabulary generation is whack now. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, in the rankings, he's starting to fall. And as a result, I think that's just knocking him. I think it's knocking him.
I think he'll be back though. He's got a fight lined up with
Dvalishvili.
Exactly.
Which is not a fight you'd expect, because that's a worrying, that's a risky fight for him.
Exactly.
So let's say he loses another now. That's three in a row.
Yeah.
He's liable to get cut. But really. He won't, but he's liable to get cut.
The fact is as well, it's so crazy about it, is he's so good as well. He's an elite fighter. But I mean, they're all good in that division. I think he will struggle. Davison Figueiredo will struggle at bantamweight with the likes of Aljamain Sterling there because of the wrestling.
Yeah.
I think Aljo will hold him down and kind of, I don't want to say ragdoll, but I think he will ragdoll him.
Dominate. Yeah, he's gonna assert his dominance, and you're gonna see a difference in what he's used to. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him enter the bantamweight division. As for Moreno, congratulations, sir. Well deserved. To be honest, he was up on the scorecard anyway, right? He was I think 2-1 anyway, right? Correct?
I think it was 2-1 on the judge scorecard. I had him at the time of the second.
I think you'd say it was about.
I had it 2-1, 3-0. I didn't see Figueiredo winning that fight. I didn't think he got going. I didn't think he. I just
I'll
don't
tell
think
you he... what I think could have given it to him a few times. So he was very close to a submission, I think twice. One was the heel hook, innit? Mm. That one there was very close. He had him in two guillotines, bro. Am I wrong? No, it was twice. He had him in a guillotine. And they were quite tight. Right at the very beginning, within seconds.
Yeah.
Within seconds. In fact,
because Moreno shot straight away, early on,
I missed what happened, but Moreno shot right at the beginning. And immediately he just said, no, that's not happening. Went to the ground, had him in the guillotine, was not close to submitting, but it was dangerous. It was dangerous for Moreno. Then it happened again with a shot. It's like he was just ready for this. It's like Figueiredo was just prepared to not let him try this new crease that he's trying to implement. Do you get me? And then another one was the ankle pick. So he shot for the takedown, took him down, and then again, Figueiredo grabbed his ankle and just
went for that.
Very, very close to losing three times. Really close, at least that one time.
I mean, he was put in dangerous situations.
You could see his face was in pain. He was ready to tap, but he was not prepared to tap.
He was grimacing, yeah.
So yeah, that was good show. Again, heart from Moreno. He won in the end. Slightly controversial, not controversial, but like you said, anticlimactic. Boom, definitely the best man won, or the better man won, and it was deserved. So, boom.
Yeah,
happy to see that.
And then moving from one Brazilian champion to another, we go to the main event. He's not champion anymore, is he? He wasn't even champion before. But when I say champion, I mean, you know, heart of a champion and former champion, like you've been a champion. But yeah, Glover Teixeira took on Jamahal Hill for the vacant light heavyweight title. The title that Jiří Procházka vacated due to the injury.
Shoulder injury.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, the title that he lost in the previous fight, got a chance to win it back in his next one. And took on a very, I'd say very underrated, underappreciated Jamahal Hill.
I don't know if why is he underrated?
I think he's underrated.
I think people have, because he went.
But that's what I mean, though. It's because of the him being lesser known and the fact
he's
that he does
lesser. He's underappreciated,
and people don't realize his skill set.
That's
how
true.
Good he is,
and whoever expected him to win early on, Sweet Hands, knockout, Sweet Dreams. Sorry, not Sweet Hands. Sweet Dreams. Do you get me? Early on,
four knockouts in a row, whatever it is at the moment.
Yeah.
And just looking unstoppable. But, you know, Glover, as we know, a veteran, a legend in the game, and an absolute machine, a killer.
Yeah.
You saw that in the fight with Jiří. And Jiří is a man which people ducking and
they
diving.
They fear him. Yeah, they fear him.
And Glover took it to him, almost had him beat. It was back and forth.
Four and a half rounds of domination, I think.
You think so?
4.5 rounds of near domination. That made me backpedal. But yeah, I mean, again, I watched it recently and I changed my opinion from the first time I watched it.
Okay.
But the first time I watched it, my initial opinion was that he was winning every round quite comfortably. But in a way that it's been said before, and I can't remember who it was by. It might have been by Dan Hardy, yeah? When you hit Teixeira, when you rock him, he saps your energy, and that what should be him losing his legs, losing his bearings, actually turns into him, all right, it's focus time now, it's go time. And it's the maddest thing, like he gains focus and gains like flow state as he gets tucked in, as he gets beaten up. And it is so dangerous because at, how old is he, 44?
Think so.
Well, something at whatever age he is, yeah, and he looks older than he is as well. And he walks, even the way he walked to the cage, for me, it just looked like he wasn't really there. But that's him. That's how he is. He's older.
43.
Man, he was built like a strong 70-year-old. Like a big, droopy 70-year-old. But then all of a sudden he switches on and he starts bouncing around in the cage. It's weird. It's like an old man who's just switched on some mad energy and then it comes to him. But in the cage, he's a different person. And yeah, he just took a beating, man.
Yeah.
He took a beating. His face, his appearance changed several times.
His face was a crimson mess at the end of it. It was bad. It was... So if you don't know the result, Jamahal Hill won a very, very convincing and dominating unanimous decision to become the new champion.
Yeah.
Very well deserved. It was tough to watch. It was really tough.
Tough to watch. Oh, man.
I was looking at Miles throughout the fight and I was like, how is this happening? Why? Just stop it. Someone stop it.
Literally, I'm thinking this needs to stop. This is not nice. Like, yes, you've got a heart of a heart. You get me? You've got a heart. But this is not how it should be. The ref needed to get involved. I don't know what Mark Goddard was on, yeah? But he was just not budging. It's like, okay, you're fighting for the title, I understand. But you're also, at this point, it looks like you're fighting for your life. You get me? It's too much. It's too much. I thought it should have been stopped. I know his corner would never have stopped it because they're all monsters like that.
It's a difficult situation to be put in because you're in Brazil. Yeah. You're in your home.
Yeah.
And it's a title fight. And it's a dream come true. So you're stuck in a situation. And it's Teixeira. He can come back from these situations.
Yes, I know. But like, because you can come back doesn't mean you don't see what effect it's having on your brain. Do you get me?
Of course.
Just because he was smashed, bro.
No, I understand. I don't disagree. I think it could have been stopped several times.
I think I'm a soft referee because I'd just stop it as soon as he looks like
he was cut up. He was bruised up. Excuse me. He was cut up. He was bruised up. Mm. He was taking an absolute beating. It was so bad to watch. Yeah. It was so hard to watch. I kept seeing the knees connect, the elbows, the punches. Kicks, everything that Jamahal was basically throwing was landing, and it was with mean intentions. He wasn't throwing little pity-patty shots. He was throwing everything to put this guy down.
Yeah.
And Glover would not go anywhere.
Jamahal Hill must have been doubting himself.
But that's what I'm saying. After like the first two rounds, all right, cool. You're like, all right, maybe he's still fresh. You're getting into 3, 4, 5 with a 43-year-old.
What is this guy made of? Yeah.
Cut up, bleeding, bruised. All over the gaff, and you're thinking to yourself, bro, why is this guy not going anywhere? He's not taking a backward step.
Yeah.
He's not stepping back.
His face isn't changing, as in like his physical, his facial like
expression. Yeah,
but his facial features did get they got.
Did you see the post fight picture?
No, really, bro. Mullered.
Might as well have been a mummy. Could have covered him up in tissue.
Oh wow,
it was bad.
I want to see that, man.
Oh, we'll put it up.
Yeah, 100%.
And it was just. It was a clinic from Jamahal against someone who is very well-rounded, someone who's got power, someone who could submit you, someone who can dominate you, and someone who, again, like we said, he's a veteran in the game, he's a legend, he's so good, people don't understand, he's got better as he's got older. Jamahal was amazing in the takedown defense.
Oh, wow!
Every single shot.
Please, can we have a little round of applause for that takedown defense, because... It was 15 or 16 takedown attempts and maybe 2 successful.
I can't remember the exact number, but it was basically non-existent.
I remember when it was 13 out of 14 defended. Mm. 13 defended out of 14 attempts.
It was crazy.
Maybe 2, 3 more of them. We remember he took him down one more time in the final round.
Do you know what I really like about Jamahal?
Yeah.
So cool, calm under pressure.
Yep.
He's so relaxed. There's no nervousness, no anxiousness, no let me... Go all guns blazing.
No, he was composed. He was composed.
So composed. He's landing shots.
He didn't get carried away.
You can see them stinging. Stuff, obviously, man. He's not like, Glover's not falling all over the place where you want to jump on him and straight away. But in that case, some people, especially in their first title fight in a big place, surrounded, you know, pay-per-view, you're thinking to yourself, you know, let me go running in and finish him off, flying knee, whatever. But you know what? Chill out.
Yeah.
Let me do what I'm doing. Let me carry on doing what I'm doing. Let me finish the game. The way I started it.
Yes.
Just continue to dominate.
Yeah.
It's a marathon,
isn't it? It's not a sprint. It's just, he's rocked now, but I'm dominating. So let's just keep it that way. But I maybe this is controversial, right? Or maybe this is just my imagination. but it seemed to me a few things. Again, I mentioned him, his walk into the cage, which is very normal. It was very normal. I felt like he knew he wasn't going to win. And it's a random, it's weird. I felt like he knew he wasn't going to win. I felt like he knew something was off and he was... He's 43. He's not fast. He's not, you know, he's not explosive, but he's efficient, right? He wasn't efficient. His takedowns. Yes, we paid, you know, our respects to Jamal Hill's defense of the takedown, but the takedowns themselves were very
weak,
very half-hearted.
Okay.
Slow. Grab the leg. Most of them were single legs. Grab the leg. And then Jamal Hill didn't even sprawl. It was like a 10% of a sprawl. But because he was fast and it was just it was instinctive, he's not... Teixeira wasn't fast enough to follow through. Does it make sense? So yes, 13 out of 14 takedowns stuffed. But those takedowns were half-hearted. And I don't know if this is my imagination, but it just seemed like they were not as... There was no conviction behind him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
And then when he did, the second takedown that was successful, which was in the final round, I believe, he followed through.
Yeah, exactly.
He followed through. And I was like, there you go. This is what he needs to do as soon as... Because Jamal Hill, he would kind of just shuffle his hips back a little bit and straighten up his legs a bit.
Wiggle his way out.
But it was a very basic attempt at a sprawl. Mm. Not basic. I don't want to sound like I'm taking anything away from him. But it wasn't... You know, like...
There was no struggle.
I paid attention to this because I was like, you need to step again and actually follow through with that attempt. It was a half-hearted attempt. And when he did, follow through, he took him down successfully. Yes, yeah. He still put up a fight. Yes, he still almost stuffed it. But he took him down in the end. It was very, very strange. It was very strange to see. I just think he felt slow. I think he felt like he was no longer in that league. I genuinely think his mind told him, this is it. I mean, obviously, in the end, we know he retired. And it was quite a sad moment, but it's a natural thing, isn't it? You know, he's not going to make a title run again. He's just lost to Jamal Hill, who was kind of, yes, he was the favourite, but he wasn't, there were far more worthy people of taking that that fight and winning the belt or fighting for the belt. Obviously, yeah, I just think he knew it's not for him. Mm. And so he went into that fight knowing I'm very unlikely to win this fight. But he just held beatings. I'm conflicted. Because if that's how you felt, then you could have just let the ref... He wanted to go out on a shield, but he knew he was going out on a shield. Does that make sense? He knew he wasn't going to win, or he thought he wasn't going to win. So if you think it, you know it. You get me? Then it just didn't happen.
This might sound weaker, but you can take a small win from getting out five rounds and making it to the scorecards. I know it's not like in Warriors code and in Fighters code, you know, you want to go out and shield all the time. He did go out and shield, like you said, as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he managed to take that beating. He managed to, and it's not a good thing. I'm not saying it in a good way.
No, but yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, he shows, even at 43, even in the condition he may have been in pre-fight, post-fight, whatever it is, he's still got the heart to go through that situation, to be absolutely demolished. Yeah. Battered and bruised and beaten, a beaten man. Probably from second, third round, he knew it was done.
Yeah?
Yeah. And still said to himself, there's no way. Even if you're going to beat me, you have to kill me.
Yeah, but he...
It's a way...
He didn't do enough to make me say that. I don't know, man. He got battered. No, he did. Being durable isn't enough. Being a punching bag isn't enough.
No, I get that. But what I'm trying to say is, my point is, it's a small victory for him in his mind. Yeah, I didn't win
the fight. Bro, CTE is not a victory.
Forget that. No one thinks about that in the moment, though. What I'm saying in the moment...
That's the whole point of the ref.
Yeah, I know, but Forget the ref. I'm talking about him. The ref could have jumped. What's he going to say to the ref? Stop it.
Of course stop the fight. He could have. He could have said, I can't take this no more.
Who's going to say that?
The ref has to say that.
Exactly, but I'm saying for Teixeira,
I understand.
His personal victory was, you know what, I'm not beating this younger, fresher, quicker fighter.
But I'm going to stand my ground.
Exactly.
And
you know what, if you're going to lick me down, lick me down. But I'm going to get to the end, bro. Whatever, do my little post-fight interview. Not be knocked out. Not say
being carried out on a stretcher. Yeah.
Exactly. I get the whole thing after. It's terrible. Obviously, you don't want that. No one wants that.
Like you said, it was a painful watch.
It was so bad. I didn't want to see it. Because he's such a good guy as well.
Yeah.
Makes it harder. You know, if you beat up someone no one likes, it goes, kudos to you. Carry on doing it. But yeah, the post-match. And what he said as well was like, he called over Jamal, which was amazing. Yeah. Such a beautiful scene. Called over Jamal. Spoke to the crowd in Brazilian. Because obviously, when Moreno had left... after beating Figueiredo, got booed. It was so loud in his post. You couldn't hear Moreno. Yeah. Got booed. They were throwing stuff at him, drinks, food, whatever, when he was leaving. He had to run out with security. And then Teixeira said, even though they didn't actually leave together, they ended up walking out separately. Teixeira said, listen, pay him his respects. He beat me fair and square. I'm paraphrasing here. But he's going to walk out with me. Do not throw anything on him. Don't do anything silly. Basically.
I don't think they had anything left to throw, to be fair.
Yeah, they threw it all out.
Everything was dashed at Moreno.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was nice to see the sportsmanship and the sort of the passing of the torch. And again, thank you to Glover for a very good career.
Yes.
Very fun career, exciting career. Mm-hmm. And it proves even at that age, because he did win the title at 42, you're never down and out, man.
No, man, you're not. Even now, like, again, him losing that fight doesn't... I just don't think... He's a legend. He's an absolute legend. And everything that you said about him is true. I just feel like if the ref stopped it, maybe could have saved...
Of course.
Some brain cells.
Yeah, of
but
course.
But again, he's... I'm not in his situation.
We don't know. But yeah, no, I agree. And it's crazy. I always say this. Excuse me. Always say this. Mouse always says it. Styles make fights. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you just look at it at face value, Yuri and Jamal, you'd say Yuri is probably the better fighter.
Yeah.
Just at face value. I'm not saying he is the better fighter. They've both got different skill sets and they're both very good in their own ways. But Yuri went life or death with Glover, whereas Jamal absolutely destroyed Glover.
The game plan was perfect. Yeah. The game plan was perfect.
And that's why I say always styles make fights. People do not understand this, but it's so true to the core of it. In any combat sport, styles make fights. And Yuri is more of a madman. He takes more risks, takes more chances, and he's more open and susceptible to being taken out or submitted. Whereas you saw the difference with Jamal, cool, calm, collected, carried on doing what he had to do, stuck to the game plan, pieced him up, and won fairly comfortable. But then does Jamal beat...
Not fairly, it was...
Very comfortable.
Landslide, man.
But then does Jamal beat Yuri? That's what I'm saying, styles make fights.
Yeah.
It's a great fight to see. I'd love to see it. I think it's going to happen next. It probably will happen.
I was going to say, do you reckon that's the next fight? Because I don't think...
It depends on Yuri's...
His shoulder's going to be ready.
Depends on him, but he's a madman. He's already training again.
He's coming!
Exactly. So yeah, I'm excited to see that. It shakes up the division, adds fresh blood in, and I guess let's see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that belt has just changed hands so many times after John Jones left. Mm. It's almost a joke. It's almost funny. I'm not going to lie. But it is nice to see some parity rather than just defend the title. It did get boring. He stopped losing fans, John Jones. He stopped losing fans. He started losing fans. Because it's just like, you know the outcome. You know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah.
Some of them, again, controversial last few fights maybe, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Still, good to see that though. Well done, Jamal Hill. A very emotional recipient of that belt. He could barely talk. He was crying. He was sobbing. And, you know, after someone's just... For somebody who's just beating up a man for 5 minutes, that was mad to see. Like, just... sobbing, and you know he put his heart and soul into it, and
100%.
He betted on himself. And there you go, well done, mate.
Congrats, bro. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Good performance.
But yeah, then
we take a quick flight.
Might as well catch a flight back to the ends.
Is it a quick Brazil to Rio to Manchester?
It's not a quick one, but you know,
yeah.
We did it quickly.
We'll come back over to Manchester. We'll come back to the UK. And we'll go over to the AO Arena where we saw, again, another highly anticipated grudge match, you could say. It turned into that.
Oh.
Between Chris Eubank Jr. and Liam Smith.
I told you it wasn't a grudge. No, it wasn't a grudge. It wasn't highly anticipated to me. I didn't mean it like that. As in, like, obviously, it's a fight that I wanted to see. I just, after the Conor Ben Eubank Jr. build up, I was so unseeing it. I lost faith in boxing for a minute. Do you get me? But what a fight. I mean, what a build up, actually. Filled with controversy. I need to probably take a leaf out of Eubank Jr.'s book and tattoo some hair onto my head. I got the beard, that's fine. You know, I'll do that. That's fine. I'll tell you that. But as for the tattoo, I might have to just run one of those. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan. I am not a fan of that shiny plastic looking, you know, it's just like someone marked a balloon on a balloon. Mm. Like, it doesn't look great. But the pre-fight, the press conferences were interesting. Fireworks. They got very personal, very controversial. When Liam Smith, it should have been taken with a pinch of salt. But Liam Smith was basically asking Eubank Jr. if he's gay, if he had something that he wanted to share with everybody, like, you know, to come out.
So that's what he was insinuating.
Yeah,
basically. I mean, you can try and sugarcoat it and hide the fact he wasn't gonna come out and say it outright. He's not that silly enough or stupid enough to come out and be like, you know, this is what you are, and, you know, and try and shame him.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do that. He's experienced enough. He's been in enough big fights, and, you know,
trash talk is trash talk.
The current climate, it's just, you're smart enough now anyway to know that's going to get you in trouble. But again, like Miles said, trash talk is trash talk. And it was a bit of goading. It was a bit of fun. It was a bit tongue in cheek. But obviously, you can't control the way certain people feel about certain topics. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Can't please everyone. Yeah. Some people from the LGBTQ community might have taken offense to it. Some might have seen it like Holly and taken it as a joke.
That's true.
Some people who aren't in it might have been like, that's disgusting, that's terrible. And some who, again, are straight, might have been like, yeah.
It's minor. Listen, at the end of the day, yeah, I think it's very simple. It was a minor comment. It was such a minor comment. I think it was definitely blown out of proportion. But what Liam Smith should not have done is wilted. Yeah, I said it. I never said anything wrong. I'm saying, if there's something that you want to tell us, tell us. This is trash talk. This is what it is. You don't come. You do not watch a press conference if you're going to be upset and offended by anything that I say. Do not watch a press conference, because this is my job. Part of my job before I go into the fight is to get under his skin.
Okay. Here's where
I will get under his skin and you will watch it. And if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but this is where I slightly disagree with you.
Fine.
I just think certain topics, stay away from.
100%. 100%.
There's no need.
If you're going to go into extremes like Conor McGregor.
Okay. What I'm saying is, I get trash talk and I get all of that and it's fun and it's exciting and it's, you know, you're going to go in and fight a man for 12 rounds and try and basically render someone unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you want every advantage you can get. So exactly. If you want to get him riled up and you can't think properly.
You want every advantage. You want to come across as the smarter, slicker man. It's egos. Yeah. It's egos involved in fighting. No matter what anyone tries to say, every single fighter, especially at the elite, has ego.
Yeah.
Has an ego issue. To deal
That's how you get there. You have to have an ego.
You have to. If you want to be the A side, you want to be that man, you want to be the man or the woman, the top dog, the top fighter. Top person. Sorry. You've got to have some sort of ego about you. But again, what I'm trying to say is, yep, I get all of that and I understand that. And, you know, in most contexts, it shouldn't be blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. Because even Eubank, in the moment, it kind of annoyed him, but I don't think he took it too personal at that time. I think he kind of...
I don't know, you know why? Because...
I think he was more hurt about the beard and the hair.
Yeah. I think he was 100%.
More hurt, so it kind of They kind of went into that, fell into
it's
that.
It's mad, you know. I'm very, sorry, I'm very grateful that I don't have that, hey, don't talk about my hair, man. Bruv, yeah. I don't give a damn in it. A lot of people do not like the fact that they're bald and they're like, just, bruv, just own accept it. The thing, yeah.
Own it.
But that really got to him. And 100% that point got to him much more than anything.
I'm not some expert in body language or facial expressions at all, but, you know, he didn't necessarily show it. He didn't come across like, oh, he wasn't going pink in the skin or red. Yeah. And looking embarrassed, and you know,
but you can tell.
But you there's can kind of tell there's a subtle change. Yeah,
you
yeah,
get
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
It's like you went there, yeah.
A bit of a, and that's why bit of a low
went,
blow.
Yeah, but that's why he went. He went 20 steps further.
Yeah,
he went 20 steps further and just destroyed the family.
That was crazy.
He destroyed the family. Well, if you want to go dark, if you want to, you know, turn things, if you want to go there, then I heard that you cheated on your wife. What a savage.
That was nuts. What a savage. That was nuts.
What a savage. And then the thing is, that was when you saw the 10-7 round. Because
yeah,
then
yeah, Liam was just like, yo, okay, he's gone.
At least
there.
To have a girl.
At least
at least they got a wife to cheat on. Yeah, what a savage. Yeah, that's it. He was finished.
Well, he didn't say that. I think he said, mate, you haven't even got a girl to cheat or something like along those lines. But whatever he said, it was just stupid in the moment.
It was.
Regardless of all of it, the whole thing was fun. Silly, controversial. Should it have happened? Both men probably regretted it. Eubank even said post fight he regretted it. But again,
he's got more to regret. He's got more to regret because he actually Eubank Jr. has got more to regret because he went very personal and it was literally an actual. It has an actual impact on his family life.
I think both men went.
The other one there, nah, man. I think should have just been taken with a pinch of salt. Not a big deal.
I think both men went over the line with it. It's just, there's a certain line you don't want to cross. You shouldn't.
Bro, as if a fight, I say that, wait, hey man, why are you looking at me like that? What, are you gay? Are you gay?
Yeah, but we're friends. It's different.
What?
It's different.
Nah, man. No, but it's just like,
you got to understand. Bro,
but don't get close to me, man. Okay. But, I don't mean it. It's just whatever, isn't it?
Okay, but we haven't got 1,000 cameras.
Yeah.
And news outlets and people gonna kind of start questioning you, DMing you, ruining your because you'll get
then,
that
then
you'll get
everybody
that.
Will DM but if you care point. Enough everybody will DM about something just I get shut it. Up and
but
take it
I
man.
Get it but Liam's whole point behind that he's not necessarily saying you are he wasn't saying you are or are it was more so the fact that he wanted people to jump on it and mind F him. Mind F you back because it doesn't happen to him normally.
Yeah.
So it was that. Again, listen, whatever you want to say, regardless of whatever happened, the fight is going to happen. It's just certain things, you know, your fighters, man, talk about your skills, talk about, you know, if you don't sell pay-per-views, you ain't got fans, that kind of stuff.
That's boring though. I sell more pay-per-views than you. Shut up. Are you gay?
I get it, but there's limits though. There's limits. And as a professional,
if it's offensive or not. Yeah. At the end of the day, everything will offend somebody.
Of course,
to offend everybody. You get me?
That is true.
So why didn't the bald community say, "Oh, don't say that"?
No, I get it.
Why did he say that about his hair? He can't control it. It's his genes. Do you get me?
I understand.
Glad I just defended myself there because
no, it's true. You can find offense if you want to find offense in something.
Yeah.
Of course, always. But again, you just don't have to go there. You don't have to. It's unnecessary. You're just going to cause yourself the problem. That's what I'm saying. There's no need. You're going to have to defend yourself. You're going to have to come out because regardless of what you want to do, you could say, oh, I got my shield on. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
The only thing
it's just
you
long.
Need to,
it's long
you
for
need
you,
to,
bro. You've got to keep telling everybody, I didn't mean it. Every interview is going to come up for the next 10
If that's the angle you're coming from and you have to just say, oh, I didn't mean to offend, then it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah,
then if you're going to be someone like Colby Covington, for example, and say, I did say it, what? Like, this is what I respect a lot, yeah? Colby and Kamaru Usman, right? I think it's a fight too, and he dissed his dad. And I thought, rah, that's quite far. Mm. Kamaru took it with a pinch of salt, bruv. And I was like, he understands. This is just trash talk. Mm. This is selling. It's doing us both a favor.
No. Perfect. No, it's a very good point. But that's the difference, though. The fighter can take it in a certain way. It's the fans, it's the people watching who
the
complain.
The fans need to shut up.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not their place to say.
Conor McGregor, Khabib.
Yeah.
You're mad backwards. Rah! What do you mean you can't drink alcohol? Okay? Sensitive. I understand. Tried to get under his skin.
Didn't work.
A little bit got under his skin, obviously, but all it did was fuel his revenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And battered him. It didn't work for him in the end. But that's, like, I don't have You said there are lines. Yeah. Mm. I also am a Muslim. I also don't drink. I also am not a backwards rah. Do you get me? But that is not a line that I have a problem with. Mm. You can call me a mad backwards rah because you do your thing and I do mine. I'm not going to get offended by that. I'm just going to weigh you in. And if I lose, I am a mad backwards rah. Mm. Do you get me?
No, I get. No, that's fine. I see it a bit differently in the aspect that I just don't think it's worth the hassle you may potentially get from it.
Do you know when I get road rage?
Mayweather was smart in certain aspects, with when it was with his trash talking. Yeah. Early on, he was a bit more reckless with it. But as he got older, as he got wiser, as he realised, I got more eyes on me.
Yeah,
there's more chance of me being cancelled or getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. Before this whole cancel culture came into play anyway, you'd still get criticised and lose fans or potentially lose out on sponsorship deals or whatever. Yeah. And Mayweather was about money. His trash talk changed in a certain aspect. It wasn't as... It was watered down, but he still managed to get under people's skin because he was so annoying because he just said, I'm better than you.
Yeah, but...
Really and truly, that's all he used to say towards the end of his career.
Say, though. That's all he could say.
But it worked.
But he's not... Not everyone can say that.
But you can if you believe it in a fight.
It's true.
You might not win it in the end, but I'm faster than you, I'm better than you, stronger than you. You can't beat me. There is no way you can beat me. Look, I'll give you an example. George Groves, Karl Froch. Yeah. George Groves absolutely mind-effed Karl Froch. He destroyed him in the first fight, especially. Mm-hmm. So much so, even though Karl Froch denies it, he had to get a psychiatrist.
Sorry.
He was a psychiatrist,
right? Yeah.
He had to get therapy sessions.
Yeah.
He would say, oh no, I needed them anyway, whatnot. No, George Groves messed you up that bad. George Groves, insane. George Groves genuinely believed, I'm better than you, stronger than you, faster than you. I am the better fighter. I'm not going to give you credit for what you've done. I don't care. Why do I need to give you credit? I'm fighting you.
Yeah.
Ego comes into play. This is what was almost a detriment to Karl Froch, but eventually he came out on top in both fights.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying is you can still get under someone's skin. You could still make it entertaining. Bro, they were the first people to sell out Wembley.
Yeah.
The rematch was at Wembley Stadium. These are the guys who built that up. This is why people go Wembley all the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, your mom's this, or your religion's this, or your skin's this.
You're gay.
Yeah, your sexuality's this. It was more so, I'm better than you, and I'm not giving you credit for what you've done, because it has nothing to do with me. Mm. And the other guy, on the other hand, is getting offended by it. He's taken aback by it. He's like, oh, I've done all this. I'm a potential Hall of Famer, blah, blah, blah. Give me my dues. Mm. And then they start from there. And that's what I'm saying is it's unnecessary because there's always ways around it. There's always ways around it.
I just think, look, man, if you want to upset somebody, upset them. You don't have to go. You know, you see what I mean? Do what it takes to win.
You're that dagger in the heart kind
100%,
of guy.
100%. But that's it, because I know I will get got too. But my generation is that. The way we used to diss mums when we were kids, or diss every fault or flaw about a person, you'd go in on it. I'm thick skin as a result.
I do. I do agree in that sense. I think generations now are a lot...
We're a lot softer now. And it's mad because what? If Chris Eubank, let's just say theoretically, he came out as gay time ago, and he goes, oh, you keep talking about, you know, your boyfriend, but I saw you with a girl. Are you sure you're not straight? Will they jump on the same thing?
No, I don't think so.
So then, what are you on about?
Okay.
They're doubting his sexuality. Shut up, man. No. It's just trash talk.
I don't necessarily agree with what happened.
I also see
there was no malicious intent. He didn't 100%. Actually come out and physically say anything. He wasn't being homophobic in that aspect. So I just think, you know, at the end of the day, take it with a pinch of salt. You move on. You're gonna fight. People will be offended.
You're supposed to offend.
The only thing you can do is come out and apologize and say, all right, cool. But before you go crazy,
I'd like to take this opportunity
to
apologise to nobody, bruv, because for what? Sorry. Oh, I just apologise. Just said I apologise to nobody and I apologise to you because I cut you off.
Yeah.
But
regardless of it, I just, you know, I think there's a certain way you can go about things, especially when you've got all those eyes on you. That's all I'm saying. You just got to be a bit smarter in that aspect. Just, you know, look out for your personal interest. There's no need to drag your name under the dirt unintentionally. You might not even have the intentions to do so, but the ramifications can sometimes be catastrophic, bro, right now anyways, especially in this day and age. It's not fair,
yeah,
but life isn't fair.
It was a whack it was a whack dig anyway. It wasn't even like an effective dig. Oh, you say that you got girls in your DMs. You always talk about girls, eh? But, you know, are you sure? Because we've never seen you with one. Are you sure you're not gay? Like, bruv, it's so whack. It was the lowest hanging fruit ever. Mm. Man picked it off the floor. Mm. Do you get me? Mm. But I still don't see an issue with it. Like that. If anything, that's my problem with it. You could have come with something better. Mm. You know?
Okay.
But
okay.
That's about it, man.
It's interesting anyway, yeah. Because that essentially could have potentially put Liam Smith off his performance. Could
yeah,
have,
yeah.
You know, the Eubank low blow about the wife trying to break the home. That could have caused some two sleepless nights from Thursday to Friday to Saturday.
Sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't, because Liam Smith ended up in spectacular fashion knocking Chris Eubank out in the fourth round. TKO, referee jumped in, Eubank said he could have continued, but in my opinion, he was
could have continued where?
Yeah.
Could have continued where? After that knockdown, he got up and he was just, his legs, obviously you've never seen him like that because he's never been like that, but it was very much, yeah, Zabdu Da Costa Zoo-esque.
Yeah.
And it was exactly that. So who mentioned it? Roy Jones. He was questioned in an interview after. He goes, do you think he got up too soon? And I said this as I was watching it. He got up too soon. But it's two things. It's a catch 22. Either you take your 10 seconds or your 9 seconds to recover and get up and show that you're okay. Yeah? But then you're showing your opponent, rah, that really rattled me. But you need that time to get your head together. It's not enough, but you need that time to get your head together. Or you get up immediately and you don't have that experience which tells you you need that time. So you get up immediately to say, I'm fine. But you're not fine. Mm. Either way, you're not fine. You need those 8-9 seconds to show that you're okay. To at least get some sort of bearing. Do you get me? Mm. His legs were gone. Then the second time round, after the ref stopped it, he continued trying to fight. You saw this, right?
Yeah, he ran to Liam.
Who pulled him back? It was either the ref.
I think it was one of his coaches.
It was one of his coaches, but he was ready to swing. It looked like he was ready to swing, and he pulled that right arm back as it was about to go for Liam Smith because he thought he was still in the fight. Or he didn't know where he was. That stoppage there, I don't think anyone agrees that. I don't think anyone thinks it was too soon.
No.
Except for him. Not at all. And that's his ego, once again, because he was not ready to go.
I think when he watches it back, which he probably has done by the time this comes out, he will agree with it as well because, again...
No, I think he agrees with it there and then.
Yeah.
There and then. But he doesn't want to see that because he's that guy. His whole persona is, I am near perfect. You cannot mess with me. Mm. I've not been dropped before. I've not been rocked before.
And that's what I was touching on as well, is mad the fact... Listen, regardless, I've watched enough boxing in my life to understand that anything can happen at any given moment. I've seen people get knocked out in the last seconds of the 12th round. I've seen a favourite get absolutely sparked out. I've seen people absolutely dominate, clinics, all of that. I genuinely did not ever think I was going to see Eubank get sparked out the way I did. We didn't get sparked out, but you know what I'm saying. I did not expect him to be in that state. The shots I've seen him take from bigger, stronger men, no disrespect to Liam Smith, but again, Liam said it all along. He said it in the face-off. He said it when he sat at the table with Johnny Nelson, gloves are off. You've never been hurt. You say you've got a good chin. Anybody can be hurt. People with better chins than us have been knocked out. I've seen it. Don't you worry about it. All right, you've got this chin. Cool. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And he delivered on his promise. He delivered. He said what he was... He didn't actually go out and say, I'm going to do this uppercut and then...
No, he warned him. He pre-warned him, bro. Don't rely on... It's never happened to me.
And this
before.
Is why I think having an amazing chin... Again, is also a catch 22. It's because you can become over reliant on your ability to take a shot, when necessarily, like the saying is, the best chin in the business is the one that doesn't get hit. You don't want to. No one wants to go out and get hit on the chin. But when you know you can take a shot, there's the fear factor isn't there. And I think in fights, you need a little bit of fear of the opponent.
Yes.
For your adrenaline, for your own benefit. Because if you don't, then you could potentially get what happens. If he respected Liam Smith's power from the beginning and wasn't so, my chin is basically impenetrable, you cannot get past this defense, basically, which is here, nothing's going to happen to me, then maybe certain shots he wouldn't be trying to shoulder roll and jump and this and that. hands up sometimes. All right, you got hit. You might feel it. You might not want to show it. Get your hand up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Move. Move.
You're not Roy Jones. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. You're not Roy Jones Jr. What we saw at very, very much in the first round, at the very least, yeah? And the subsequent rounds. But round one, in my head, I'm just looking at Roy Jones. You understand? He moved, tried to move like Roy Jones. His hands were placed like Roy Jones. His punches were being thrown from the same place as Roy Jones was. I understand he's your trainer. You are not Roy Jones. Roy Jones made some critical, basic, fundamental errors, but he got away with it with his speed, with his, he was, you know when they say gifted? He was gifted with speed, gifted with power, gifted with athleticism, which you are not gifted with. So you can't get away with it. Don't think that you can pass that on. Roy Jones, unfortunately, he's not a trainer. He should not be a trainer. You have to be able to teach fundamentals and basics and perfect them before you can do anything. And Roy Jones never had them in the first place. How are you going to pass them on? Do you get it? So in the ring now, he wasn't being himself anymore. He was being a young Roy Jones. But slow. Imagine Roy Jones, but slow. So, well, okay, he didn't do that, but he... Imagine doing that Roy Jones move, you know, the one that he stole from a flipping cockfight, yeah? But doing it slowly. You're just not going to land it. So you're going to look stupid. And that's exactly what I saw. I'm in my head, I'm just watching someone who's trying... I'm just watching somebody who's trying to be Roy Jones, but who is slow and cannot do what Roy Jones can do. So why are you doing it?
He's slow. He's slower. Slower.
Yes, sorry. But by Roy Jones' standards. Now, this guy was a freak. Roy Jones was a freak. He got away with so much. A bit like Prince Nassim, again, 2 feet off the ground when you're throwing punches. The speed, the movement, the hands down. It doesn't work for everybody. Do not try and emulate that which is not fundamentally basic entry level. You have to have these basics. Do you understand? Don't ruin the fundamentals because you think you can apply them. Do you understand? I'm not even making sense anymore.
But no, I get what you're saying.
Stick to the basics. And have your style. Your style got you to the dance. It got you there.
Listen.
Had you just worked on that instead of trying to become somebody you're not and somebody you could never be like because you ain't got the same minerals. Mm.
What I think as well is, fair play. If you want to do that, you want to do that. Cool. But this is the risk you're willing to take. It's the risk you're running when you fight people of the echelon. Liam Smith.
Yeah.
You can get away with that when you fight lower level opposition.
Do it with them.
And... again, this is the problem with fighting certain level of opponents is it could give you some false confidence.
Yeah.
Gives you this false belief that maybe I can have my hands low, I can pity-patter, tip-tap, and then up the pace and then eventually get you out of there.
Yeah.
And again, when you fight elite, when you fight world-class opponents, when you fight guys who have been in there, who are former world champions, who know what they are doing, unfortunately, like Chris Eubank said, ABC 1-2-3 gets the job done. And ABC 1-2-3 in this case was Liam Smith, and he got the job done.
Man tried XYZ him, you understand? And you haven't got there.
I'm a fan of Eubank Jr. Yeah, people might think, what the hell, like, a lot of people don't like him. Again, I like entertainment. I like people who can sell a fight.
100%.
And he can do that. He definitely does that. He gets eyeballs on him. He's so
already
smart.
Resold the rematch. Do you get me?
Yeah, exactly. So
he sold the rematch, so yeah.
So I've followed his career and I've watched a lot of his fights, and I was saying this pre-fight and I said it to Mouse, he reminds me, not the same style, not at all, not in terms of technique or just in terms of mentality and how they are when they get in the ring, a bit of Adrian Broner, where I see them being, trying to emulate a style which isn't theirs.
Yeah.
And yep, they've done it against certain fighters, but when they've tried to do it against the elite, against the top guys, they've come up short.
When you already have a style which works for you, and that's true for both of them.
Yeah,
you already had a style, or have a style which works and has worked in the past. It's proven. Why change it? Why are you trying to be these guys that you can never be like?
My biggest problem, my biggest issue, my biggest frustration, with Adrian Broner was the fact that he was gifted certain attributes which he ended up moving away from. He ended up trying to be this counterpuncher, Floyd Mayweather-esque type fighter, which he never was from the beginning. I get he's your mentor. He's someone you look up to, someone who's trained you a little bit, in and around the camp all the time. And he's the biggest star in boxing. Everyone wants to be Mayweather, but nobody can be Mayweather. That's the difference. No one can. No one can. No one will ever be Floyd Mayweather. It's impossible. With Broner, I used to see a lot of things where he's in fights and he can easily beat a lot of the guys he's fought and he's lost to. Not all of them, but some of them. I think with a better game plan and a bit more ring IQ, I think he could have beat Maidana comfortably. But Maidana ragdolled him. Maidana walked through him.
It's not, again, it's Broner, not their IQ. It's more the eagerness to look flashy and to look good when you're not there.
But even
Mayweather didn't look good because he wanted to put on a show. Mayweather looked good because he was able to do that.
But even the spots of flashiness can work. But you're not throwing enough punches.
Yeah.
You're not being active enough. Adrian Broner, for so long, had some of the best hands in boxing. When he threw combinations, they were beautiful.
They were.
Uppercuts from angles, hooks, fast, sharp punches.
Yeah, lethal, man.
But you're not using it. You're not, what are you doing? You're not throwing. You're throwing four punches around at certain points. You're not throwing enough. How Same thing with Eubank. Like the first two rounds, I get, beginning of the fight, I understand it. You're cold, process, yeah. Dry, you're trying to get warm, you're trying to get ready, you're trying to get in there, you're trying to feel, you're trying to process everything. I get that. But I'm seeing pity-patty jabs. I'm seeing
useless.
Your right hand's there, locked and ready to go. There's opportunities to throw it. I'm not saying I'm world level fighter, but there's certain points where
he needed to follow up.
He's not doing it. He's there, and it's like, use your attributes that you've got, that you already have, that have got you to the dance. Yeah. The things that you do. You throw Eubank when he throws punches in bunches. When he throws his combinations, it's very difficult to stop. He's so hard to get off you. He's got the gas tank. He's got speed. He's got pop. Yeah, he's not the most powerful one punch hit or quitter kind of guy, but it's accumulative, and that's what he was known to do. He would brawl with you in the aspect, like his dad. Obviously, they're different fighters completely, but it's in you. That's in your blood.
His dad, Roy Jones, is not in your blood. His dad was his own fighter. Eubank Jr. is probably what it is. Psychologically, he's trying to break free from that association with his dad. He has to be somebody else. Do you get it? So he's completely taken a different style.
It's frustrating for me because I think maybe I'm a bit deluded in my belief of Chris Eubank, but Jr. But I think he has the ability to be very, very good. But I don't know if it's the confliction between him and wanting to be a certain style, or it's that mental barrier of him not being able to. Because I think if he threw those punches and he tried to keep Liam off of him instead of trying to box hands down, boom, boom, boom. I get in certain moments you have to box and in certain moments you have to fight. But I feel like don't stray away from what you're very, very good at. Throw those shots. Let your hands go.
That's the main thing. And we're going to have to wrap up quite soon, right? But one more thing. I want to go back to what I said about Roy Jones not being fit to be a trainer. Mm-hmm. End of round two. I don't know if you picked up on what he said, yeah?
No, I didn't. I couldn't hear
so
it.
So it was, I don't know the official scorecards, but it looked like it was the first round was Liam Smith's. Second round was 10-10, yeah? He goes, all right, you having fun? You having fun? Keep doing what you're doing. You having fun? What do you mean? Are you having fun? Keep doing what you're doing. I understand, but that was terrible advice. That was terrible advice because let's say he did lose the first round. Throwaway round is round one. I understand. Now it's 10-10, the second one, potentially. You need to start being more active. Not are you having fun? Are you having fun where? I know I'm nitpicking at this exact, but that comment really stuck with me. I was like, what do you mean? It's too early to get, you know, Teddy Atlas on him, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, what do you mean? Are you having fun?
Have the goal in mind at all points.
Tell him you need to stay focused. You're not throwing enough. Everybody saw that he wasn't throwing enough. Everybody saw that he wasn't following. Like you said, he had opportunities to throw that right after the jab and he didn't throw them. So he needed to tell him, don't be shy. Don't be scared to follow up because the jab is landing. Even if it's not landing, throw something else. You need something to follow that up. The jab is there, but the jab is an opener. Do you get me? What am I now? Am I teaching him what to do? I'm obviously not, but The jab is an opener.
And this is the difference in fighters. And this is the difference in the fight. Liam Smith stuck to what he knew, stuck to the game plan, and stuck to what got him to the dance. Like we've said numerous times, what got him to the dance was being, quotations, ABC 1-2-3, yeah. That basic fighter. Yeah. But that's what was Eubanks undoing in the end, is that guy who stuck with what he knew, came forward, walked you down, hands up, and threw his shots, eventually got you in the corner, eventually had you trapped, cut off the ring efficiently enough to land shots, land an uppercut, land a left hook, scrambled your veins. You've never been in that situation before. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you didn't recover.
Even when he did try throw punches, again, like you said, it was basic. So it was the basics, sorry. He tried landing that uppercut several times. And all Liam Smith did was cover up. They hardly landed. For every now and again,
but the angles I liked like,
ooh, but then you look at it again, it didn't land.
But I liked that though.
Of course, he's trying more.
He's trying more and he's doing what he's good at. He's doing what he knows. Yeah. He's throwing the uppercut. That was round three.
Now, my point that was round three. To take away from Eubank. My point was to say that, like you said, Liam Smith stuck to the basics.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that Eubank did that.
Yeah.
And that's what you should be trying to do from the get go. Yeah. I get the first couple of rounds. Yeah. Again, it's very, because it's a quick fight, it was only four rounds, it's difficult. If this was 8, 9, 10 and you ended up losing it, then it's a bit more like, bro, like, come on, man. You should have stuck to what you knew. You should have done it. But at the end of the day, it was a great performance from Liam Smith. You can't take anything away. He was the underdog. Certain people thought, yeah, it would have gone points, but people definitely thought Eubank probably would have won. You know boxing. You understand the sport. Liam Smith is very, very good, very credible. Former world champion. Been in the ring with the elite. He's been in with Canelo. Probably, even though he lost, he learned a lot from that.
100%.
So, you know, what was he going to be afraid of going up against Eubank Jr.?
Yeah.
So, credit to Liam Smith. A huge, huge win.
Absolutely.
A massive statement made. Shut up someone who probably was getting under his skin, even though he was saying he wasn't. You can't get under my skin.
Humble pie, innit? Humble pie is a salty, unsavory flavour.
Yeah. So the options going forward now for Liam are either Triple G, he mentioned, Kell Brook potentially coming back from retirement, or the rematch at Anfield. So
take the rematch, man. Take the rematch.
Would you take the rematch if you were Eubank?
If I were Eubank, I think so. But I just think he needs to now understand. I need to get on the phone to him. I think he needs to understand that he needs to just rein it in a little, revert back to basics. Don't try and be flashy. Just win. Get the win. Before you do anything, you know, get the win and then you can be flashy against a lesser opponent again if you want.
I think just assert your dominance from the start. Assert your dominance.
With a fight like that, you can't not take the immediate rematch. You can't not take it. Mm. Otherwise, it takes away from you. Oh, I need a tune-up fight. Okay, well, then clearly he weren't ready for this fight in the first place. But he wants to prove that he was. He didn't even want to say the better man won on the night. Mm. He said the better. I said things that got you understand. He took it back. He was like, you pointed it out, but I saw it. The better man won on the night. He couldn't even finish the word better. He took it back. He retracted it. Come on, man. Good fight. Good performance from Liam Smith. Unfortunately, there's a lot to change and a lot that he needs to improve on for Eubank Jr. And I hope he does. He needs to take that immediate rematch because he needs to prove a point. And to prove that he was the better man who just lost, you know, everybody that gets knocked out, it was a punch from the gods. It was a one in a million. It was to take it. It happened. This is what boxing is, though.
Listen, regardless of the whole situation, maybe, you know, it might have been a bit of an act, but I'm not saying it was. But this is what the comments I've seen, he took the L with some dignity.
Yeah, no, he did.
He shook his hand, and you know, he moves on. I don't think Eubank's the type to lose sleep over it. I think his mental fortitude is greater than that. He seems like a very solid, smart guy.
I think he is losing sleep. I think he's saying, why did I let that happen?
No, I think the natural...
And how did that happen?
I think the natural losing sleep, like, oh, damn, like, how did this happen? I should have beat him. Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be... I was going to say pulling out his hair, he ain't got any.
He's going to be rubbing off his tap.
But you know what I mean? Like, oh, like, you know, killing him and, you know, on the inside, he's like...
Yeah, he's not going to... Okay, fair enough. He's just going to say, let's get it back.
Yeah, basically. basically. Right, let's obviously, he'll be frustrated he lost, but I don't think he's going to be killing him inside. But I think he will take that fight.
He has to.
He has to.
Guys, this has been good. This has been episode 57 of the Sweet Science Podcast. I've been your boy, Fat Mouse.
He has. And I've been Cash with a K, not a C.
Like, comment, subscribe, share.
No.
Schwarit. Yeah. Check out the TikTok. Check out the Instagram. Check out the Twitter. I don't have much control over that one. I don't really know how to use it. What else is there to check out? Check out the YouTube. We're pumping out some shorts as well. So watch them shorts. Yes, nice little snippets of the pod.
And again, if you're not a visual person, you can always listen to us on Google Podcasts and Spotify.
Apple, a whole bunch of them. I'm not going to lie, I don't know them all. I probably should get to know them all. We usually just put the link to the Spotify here. But what I might start doing is put the link to the Podbean platform, which is, it allows you to listen on whatever you want, basically.
Okay? Everything will be in the description below. We've been the best podcast around.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you lot next week.